you are expectant, lift your hands toward heaven and tell the Lord what your expectation is. Tell him what you want. The Bible said in the twinkling of an eye, you will be changed. It doesn't take eternity for God to do that which is eternal. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you can be changed. He said, weeping endures for the night, joy comes in the morning. Our light affliction are but for a moment. So it takes a moment for a difference to be created in the spirit if there is expectation. And so tonight again, we come to trouble the waters of the spirit. So ask the Lord for something definite. Ask the Lord for an empowerment. Ask the Lord for an impartation. There's about to be a shift in the spirit. There's about to be a shift. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the spirit of the living God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless your name. We magnify your name. Lord, you've begun with us mightily. Even tonight, we ask that you crown it up with glory. We look up to you, and according to your word, you said our faces will be radiant and we will not be ashamed. And so tonight is that moment again where we come to assemble before you, Father. Breathe upon us the breath of life and the breath of your presence. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Please be seated. I'll talk for about 25, 30 minutes and we'll be out of here. Glory to God. I just want to say a few things this evening before I begin to make declarations. I told us in the morning, every civilization that you've seen in human history is a product of the intelligence of spirits. Men are only but puppets in the hands of spirits. The true architects of civilizations are spirit entities. The reason is because these beings are creatures of thrones and dominion. And so rulership is one thing every spirit insists on. And so when spirits find regions where their influences can be expressed, they begin to look for the legal entities of those regions in order to use them to take dominion over those regions. I quoted for us from Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 in the morning. Moses and everyone in Israel thought they were slaves of Pharaoh. But when the portals were open and the true dominion of Egypt was read, Pharaoh was not in charge. He said, tonight I will pass through Egypt and I will judge the gods of Egypt and I will kill the first sons of Pharaoh and Pharaoh will let your people go. So Pharaoh was not the one keeping Israel in captivity. It was the gods of Egypt that kept Israel in captivity. And the moment the gods were judged, that night, Pharaoh asked Moses, he said, bless me. I have seen another dominion superior to the Leviathan that dwelled in the belly of the sea. And Israel received emancipation. In Daniel chapter 10 verse 20, when Daniel saw the frustration of Israel and went to the place of prayer, his eyes were open. And suddenly, he saw that Israel was not in captivity to the king of Babylon. He said, the prince of Persia is the one ruling over this land. And he said, when he is finished, he said, the prince of Grecia will come. If you can't deal with the princes, you can never take dominion. You want to be a world changer, you must devise a technology in the spirit that gives you influence in the realm of spirits. If you don't have influence and authority in the realm of spirit, forget about creating a change in your world. And I shared with us in the morning, the first time the world began to be influenced, the technology we saw that provoked influence was the technology of altars. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 25, he said, in those days, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And suddenly, prophecies began to break out again. We saw the same happen in the life of Noah. He said, Noah found favor with God. And because of Noah, the Bible said the world was judged. What was the power that Noah had? Genesis 8 verse 20 to 22. He said Noah raised an altar to the Lord. It was the technology of altar that gave Noah influence in the realm of the immortals. And so long as he had influence in that realm, on his account, the world could be judged. Men that change their world are men of altars. You lack altars in your life, you will have no power to create change in your ecosystem. He said to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, get thee out of thy father's house, come to the land that I will show you. In blessings I will bless you, and from thee shall the nations of the earth be blessed. And we saw in Genesis 12 verse 7 that Abraham raised an altar to the Lord that appeared to him. When he got to Bethel, the Bible said he raised an altar to the Lord. When he got to Mamre, Genesis 13:18, he raised an altar to the Lord. The man knew that if there is no altar in your life, your technocracy is a waste. The foundation of territorial influence is the power you generate on the altar. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, it says, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I will hear them from heaven. And he said, I will come down and I will heal their lands. Emancipations, shaping of generations is a product of altars. Make no mistakes about it. I shared with you that the elite nations that you talk about today, like the Great Britain, like the United States of America, they were born from altars. If you study the story of Great Britain, it's a nation built on the foundation of priesthood and sorcery. It was always a battle between light and darkness. And the prevailing dominion is what wins. America is built on the laws of Moses, because the fathers of that nation were priests before God. Without altars, no civilization can be built. Every non-civilization in the world today was built by altars. Israel was built by priesthood. He said Moses went to the backside of the wilderness, even unto Horeb, the mountain of God. He saw a bush burning that was not consumed. And God said to him, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go that they may serve him. When they came out, he said, teach them laws, teach them statutes, teach them ordinances. He said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Isaiah 66 verse 8. Every civilization is a product of altars. And so everyone who is a world changer is an ardent man of the altar. Without altars, you cannot make any impact. At best, you will create impressions. But for you to make genuine impact, you must have authority on the altar. And I told us, the activity on the altar is not just prayer. The activity on the altar is actually sacrifice. What you put on the altar is sacrifice. Your sacrifice on the altar could be prayer. Your sacrifice on the altar could be studying. Your sacrifice on the altar could be service. The business of altars is not just about prayer. Prayer is one of the sacrifices we put on the altar, but it's more than prayer. There are many people today that require wisdom to shape their world. They need to pay the price of in-depth study in order to tap into the spirit of wisdom to be able to create a change in their world. Our generation is a generation of laxity, lacklustre about issues that matter. I can assure you, you gather 100,000 youths, you can't find 10 people that are doing one thing consistently for 6 months. Because there is no tenacity in their spirit. There's no stamina in their spirit. When you want to find men who can change their world, there must be a dogged consecration informed by the nature of altar that they are servicing. Either by prayer or by study or by service. There's got to be an altar at the foundation of your manifestation. Else, you will be swept away by the wind. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you what I don't know. I'm telling you what I experience. This is not fairy tale. This is reality. You don't do business on the altar, you will be swept off. And I'm not telling you something because I'm a pastor. This is not being excessively spiritual. I told them in the morning, I did my master's degree in quantum mechanics. I've studied about light. I've studied about electromagnetic radiation. I've studied about science to the deepest realm. So this is not me just acting spiritual. But I know that the natural realm is an offspring of the supernatural realm. I know the physical realm is an offspring of the spiritual realm. If you don't have authority in the spiritual realm, you cannot create change in the natural realm, no matter how intelligent you are. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim, Elohim Adonai. Elohim, Elohim Adonai. Changer must develop the culture of consecration to an altar. If you have no altar you are servicing, I tell you, you are failure waiting to manifest. There is no favor that can make you an impactful person. It's a deceit of the highest order. The man imparting you has an altar. The apostles you pursue, the prophets you pursue, the leaders you pursue, they have altars. I can assure you that your governor is very sober at 12 midnight. You are the only person who sleeps by 9 p.m. because you think you can sleep and wake up anytime and you will make impact. You are joking. You are the only person who thinks you can wake up at any time and things will work out because you stood up and said, God will have mercy. You are joking. Go and find out men that are making impact. I was talking to Bishop Oedipo's secretary. They came to Abuja. They were leaving for Ota that same night. I finished with them around 9 p.m. They landed Ota 12 midnight. He said the day is still young. Because they close from work sometimes 2 a.m. And they must be present for morning dew by 5 a.m. There is nothing like saying I was tired today. And this is not something they discovered yesterday. It is a culture that have lasted for eons. You have lazy people who are not committed to nothing. And they think they will wake up and change their world. Because an apostle poured oil on you. They will pour a drum of oil on you. You will go nowhere. You must be consecrated to something. There's an altar of reading. There's an altar of prayer. There's an altar of service. This is a generation where nobody wants to serve anybody. Everybody just wants to appear. Go where? In service, you take root. So you live with an inheritance. You cannot commit to anything. You think you can change your world? Won't you be shocked if the level and the careless life you are living now, you are suddenly enthroned? Won't you be shocked? Consecration and sacrifice is the business of altars. And everyone who wants to make impact in his generation must have a definite altar that he services. The day your consecration to that altar goes down, that day you sink. You don't sink the day your voice was withdrawn. You actually sank the day your consecration died. Because your consecration is the foundation of your existence. And you are consecrated to a spirit through the technology of an altar. What is the altar that powers your existence? Is it an altar of prayer? Is it an altar of study? Is it an altar of service? Is it an altar of goodwill? What is the altar that powers your existence? I'm not saying go and raise a wooden structure and kneel before it. I'm talking about a life of consistency and consecration. A life of absolute devotion. Somebody told me about Chris, Pastor Chris Akinlome. In 1 month, he read 55 books. That means some days he reads more than one book. You stand up, you say he's healing anointing. You are joking. Do you see the systems this man have built? It takes a lot of sacrifice for different versions of your life to keep emitting, to be able to control certain authority. Some people are the way they've been since 1999. Some people are the way they've been since 2010. They have not evolved to another version of themselves because there's no consecration to anything. You will never go anywhere. This gospel of prophesying over people from January to December is deceit. Praise the Lord. Please sit down. Oh, Elohim. Your consecration demand is a function of your ordination. And so in order to make impact, you've got to discover what you were born to do. And so the second thing that makes a world changer is vision. If you have no vision, you are going nowhere. And if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. Speed is only an advantage when you are traveling in the direction of your destiny. He said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I know you. I knew you. I ordained you and I sanctified you to be a prophet to the nation. And he told him his order of the prophetic. He said, is to uproot and to plant. So the man knows that his prophetic order must come with deliverance authority. And because of that, he will pay the price to have power. Jeremiah may not be an orator, but Jeremiah must carry power because the direction of his destiny have been told to him. The Bible said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish because they will be excited doing nothing and they will think they are doing so much. What you are doing is relevant to the degree that is consistent with your vision. And if you don't know a vision, or if you don't have a vision, whatever it is you are doing is a waste of time. Because you may be called to be a preacher. Meanwhile, you spend 10 hours of your day learning how to do juggling. You are not a footballer. So that effort was wasted because it does not add to the right direction you are going to. So you must, of necessity, know exactly why you came here. In fact, you started living the day you knew your vision. You didn't start living the day you started breathing. You started living the day you knew your vision and you became committed to it. Your vision will inform the burden that you carry. Moses was a prince for 40 years, but there was nothing written about his destiny. Exodus chapter 1 and 2 was supposed to be the story of Moses' life, but there was nothing to write because he had not gotten his vision. And so for 40 years, princesses will take him to the river and bait him. He was wasting his life. He thought he was enjoying until vision came. And he said when he knew his vision, he no longer allowed himself to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he didn't know his vision, it was an honor to be called Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter's son. The day he knew his vision, that became demotion. And Moses, the Bible said, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, because he had recompense for the reward. The reward is a recompense for your understanding of your vision and paying your price to fulfill it. There are too many people going nowhere and they are excited. They say Chelsea is playing football, they are there shouting. They say there is a music festival, they are there shouting. And they are just loafing around, wasting their lives. And they think they are relevant because they saved some money and bought a car. They think they are relevant because they got married. They didn't know that that marriage is them bringing an innocent lady into their compendium of confusion. Their life would have been wasted. Now they have added another person's life to the waste. It would have been better they were not married. Because if they were not married, they would have been the only... If they were not married, we would have known that one person was lost. Now they have brought another lady and added to destruction. And to make things worse, they give birth to children that become a problem to society. And so after a while, it becomes a company of confused people creating confusion to society because they have no vision. Don't be quick to shout that you are making progress except you know where you are going. And if I stop this session now and I took a census here to find out exactly why these people were born, you will be shocked the percentage you will find. Because people have not gone to entreat God and say, Lord, why did I come here? 10 years ago, I was 15. Now I'm 25. And I still don't know why I'm here. Lord, where am I going to? May you not return to eternity and they told you you didn't pass through time. May you not return to eternity and they showed you why you were born and you never touched it. May you not return to eternity and they show you why God took time to create you but you never scratched it. Kenneth Hagin was a pastor for 13 years before God told him you are a prophet. So as far as destiny is concerned, it was after 13 years of ministry that he started ministry. Because it's when vision was born that life was born. It's when vision is born that life is born. And it's when vision will be born that life will be born. Yours could be in the past, it can be in the present, or it could be in the future. The ball is in your court. Somebody will leave this conference and go shut his door and say, Lord, I refuse to be part of the company of people going nowhere. That's why you can afford to sit down from morning to night and gossip. You are not going anywhere. If you are going somewhere, you will know it is better to travel light. And you will not heap on your shoulders things that don't pertain to you. We are a visionless generation. That's why many are wasting. There are some of you here that should have been leading the youth of Uyo by now. And creating emancipation campaigns, leadership campaigns. There are some of you here that should be pioneering different order. But you still don't know where you are going. And so anybody can show up from anywhere and drag you into nowhere. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number three is diligence. Please take this thing to heart. I teach young people about mysteries a lot. So usually when I come for a meeting, they want me to start opening things. If you don't know the foundation, the mystery will be a burden. In Proverbs 22:29, it says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He says he will stand before kings and not before men. So you have a vision. That vision is your business. Now that you have found that vision, you become diligent in it. Diligence simply means paying attention to details until you gain mastery in it. I knew I was a preacher, and so I took my time to sit down and listen to great preachers. There were preachers I listened to, not because I was interested in their revelation. I wanted to learn their comportment. When they come to the altar, there is a comportment with which they walked. So I'm listening to them, I'm not inspired by their revelation. I'm inspired by their comportment. They are leaders I listen to just because I want to learn from their confidence. They come into a meeting, atmosphere is dry. They say, in the name of Jesus, stand up. And you see a cripple walking. How did you step into this order? And I begin to explore their stories to find out what they know that gave them this level of audacity. So I'm pursuing them for their audacity, not for their revelation. There are many leaders I listen to. I just want to learn the administrative intelligence. They are talking and everything is in order. Everything is working. You will never see light blink. The color combination is perfect. The LED screen is crystal clear. Everything is going on as if you are in heaven. How did you come about this excellence? That's what I'm looking for. Because they have mastered different dimensions. It's called diligence. You pay attention to the detailed requirement of your calling until you become a master. That's why Paul said, him that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In Proverbs chapter 12 verse 24, he said, the hand of the diligent shall rule. When a man is diligent, whether you like it or not, he will be a ruler. He doesn't need to lobby his way to the top. The top is his inheritance. But when people lack diligence, the Bible said they will be ensnared. They will end up as slaves seeking the mercy of others. The hand of the diligent shall rule. You want to rule in your generation? What is your vision? And to what degree are you diligent about the pursuit of your vision? There are some of us who don't eat like ordinary people. Not because we don't like food. We like food so well and we have favorite meals. But where we are going will not allow us to eat like ordinary people. And so week in, week out, we have fasted until we have forgotten if there is a fasting routine. Fasting has become our life because of where we are going. If I go back home, no matter how tired I am, I can't close my eyes until it's 2 a.m. I have, like Paul, beaten my body and brought it under subjection because I know leaders don't sleep at night, whether in light or in darkness. Even witches don't sleep because they know for you to rule, you must stay awake when others are sleeping. And while you are awake, you are adding value to yourself. I can finish preaching this night and I will still go and sit down and listen to a full sermon by Bishop David Oedeko. I'm coming here to preach to you about what changes. I'm learning church growth from Bishop Oedeko. What I'm preaching here, I didn't learn it yesterday. It's my life. I'm not studying what I'm teaching you. I'm studying something different. I'm on a school now on church growth by Bishop Oedeko because I'm powering the system. I've learned it before, but I'm on a refresher course. I'm listening to a message preached 5 years ago. I sit down, I'm taking notes. And as I'm taking notes, I go back to my structure. I tilt it here, tilt it there. I adjust it because at the end of the day, I must rule. I must win. I must prevail. And the way to do it is to be diligent. What is the area that I need to add something? Where are the dots missing? Where are the T's not crossed? And then you are paying attention and you are doing it until you are gaining mastery. You are gaining mastery. A day comes, you operate it, it looks as if you caught it from heaven. No, you enter there through diligence. We are a generation that is careless about everything. Elohim Adonai. Have to be old to make impact. If you are diligent, you can make impact from a tender age. Because when you carry something, people are not moved by your age, they are moved by what you carry. And so you have to pay attention to refine what you carry until you become the best at it. Even God will not reward you until you are diligent. In Matthew 25:21, he said, well done, thou faithful servant. Because you have been diligent in little, he said, I will commit much to you. People are looking for promotion, whereas what they have, they are not diligent with it. He said, if you are not faithful with little, you will not be faithful in much. And if you can't be faithful in little, no one will give you much, because it will result in greater waste. Now all you have is a hunger. You can't tend it. You are waiting for God to give you authority to gather people in the stadium to do what with them. You are not diligent with the little you have. You are a preacher. You don't have power. You don't have miracles yet. But even the preaching, you are going to preach, you can't sit down to study the scripture. You show up and you have preached one message for 4 years. You will go nowhere. You want to be a world changer? Be diligent with what God has committed to your hand until you gain mastery. It is the master version of you that people are looking for. He said, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. When you are rising, they will be watching from afar and they are seeing what this young man is doing. When you become a master, even the kings will look for you because they are already commanded to come to the brightness of your rising, but it will take diligence to refine what God has given to you until it becomes bright. Number four is focus. I've heard a strange definition today. I will go and sit on that one for a while until I internalize it. My God. There is so much wisdom in this world. How did they come about such wisdom? What was the definition again? He said, follow on course until success. My God. When I heard it, something came alive in my spirit. And that's what it is. In 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 39 and 40, he said to a king, my lord, he said, a man gave me someone to keep. He said, but as I was busy here and there, I lost it. Meanwhile, the verdict was already given to him. He said, if you lose him, your life will be required of you. How can you hear such things and still be busy here and there? It's lack of focus. What does that tell you? If you lack focus, you will lose what God has given to you. No matter how you try, you will lose it. That means the key to keeping what God has committed to you is to stay focused on it. There are too many people who are not focused on what God has committed to them. Sir, if you are a politician, don't kill yourself trying to meet the prayer target of an intercessor. This is where people have problem. Their ego will want them to do everything until they are doing what is not part of their script. Is it good to pray? Yes, but you are not an intercessor. So when you pray, look for the politicians that are succeeding. Learn from them. While you are learning the good things from them, look for open doors and put your head there and be growing. If you pray only, the day they tell you to come and address people, you will stutter. Your prayer will be there, the anointing will be strong. You will stand, people will see you and fall down, but you will have nothing to say. And you will fail woefully in life. If you are a businessman, pray, but make sure you know how to buy and sell. Don't pray and assume angels will bring the goods to your soul. You will fail. What is it God has committed to you? Focus on it. Let that thing inform your priority. I am a pastor, sir. All my friends are pastors. I have many other people who are very good people, but I don't need them on my journey. I want to see somebody who is doing something that will provoke my spirit. I looked online this afternoon and I saw Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche in Cameroon for a crusade. The number of crutches he was holding, his hand couldn't even cycle it. I say, what is the meaning of this? What are the pastors in Cameroon doing? Jesus Christ. One person enters Cameroon and he empties all the crutches. I say, God, what is happening here? Those are the things I see. And when I see it, I want to leave here quickly and go and pray. We came here in the afternoon, a man showed up with crutches. He was walking. We collected it. He started walking. Everybody shouted. I laughed. Where I'm going to, I don't want to collect one stick from somebody. If Dr. Paul can carry 1,000 crutches, I have seen him. He has not seen me. Hear this. He is ahead of me. I'm not ahead of him. That means if he's taking 1,000, I should take 10,000. Because he's inspiring me. I'm not inspiring him. My own anointing plus his impartation should give me double. But you cannot go far. If you are watching, I can't be watching Benzema. They say, Benzema scored hat-trick in 2 matches. I say, thank God for him. The person I'm watching is Dr. Paul. Because I'm not headed towards hat-trick. I'm headed towards collecting crutches from people and winning souls. It's called focus. Focus will select your menu. Focus will inform your attitude. Focus will inform everything about your life. You think if I was a politician today, I will spend 4 hours listening to a pastor a day? I listen to ministers of God sometimes for 12 hours in a day. It's because I'm a pastor. If I am a politician, I will come to church and pray. At best, I will give a tithe of prayer for a day. I will listen to one or two messages, and most of the messages I will listen to will be on leadership. And I will sit down and hear every speech by Barack Obama, every speech by Winston Churchill, every speech. I will follow every news happening in the world because I want to understand the politics. I want to understand the gimmicks. I want to understand the strategy. And I also want to know how to walk through the political corridor and not be defied. If I'm reading the Bible, I will know everything about Nehemiah, everything about Daniel, everything about Joseph, because I am in the political corridor. It will inform everything you do. But when you see people who are not focused, they carry everything, they look everywhere, they do everything, it's a sign that they will not go far. Somebody organized a race between a rat and a tortoise. The rat can run 10 times faster than the tortoise. They put them in the race. The rat will go right, go left, go back, go forward. The tortoise was going slow and steady, but the gaze of the tortoise was at the end. The tortoise finished the race. They waited for minutes. The rat had not come to the finishing line. That means your speed is useless if you have no focus. Your speed is relevant to the degree of your focus. That means your anointing is useless if you are not focused. Your talent is useless if you are not focused. In fact, your gift will become the reason for your distraction. Oh, people call me. Somebody called me the other day and said, "We are acting a movie. Come and act as a pastor and speak during the pastoral session." I say, I'm not an actor. Anybody can play that role. Call them. Some people called me the other time. They said they had an occasion. They wanted me to come be an MC. I said, I'm not an MC. I can help you pay to get an MC. I am a witness to a generation. When I talk, I conjure spirits. When I talk, I change the lives of people. I don't talk for fun. I talk to create impact. I'm on a course. And my attention is fixed there. Jesus said, "For this cause was I born." He said, "For this cause came I into the world, that I may bear witness to the truth." He knew where he was going to. And he stayed on track. If I meet your friends, I can tell how far you will go in your journey. I can tell. I don't need to be prophetic. I will tell where you are going to and how far you will go to. Even the people of the world know. They say birds of a feather flock together. A man who has no focus is moved by everything. I came to Uyo now. I know a lot of people, but I stayed indoors. I came to preach. When I'm done, I'm out. I didn't come here for funfair. If I'm coming for holiday, I will take time and come with my wife. Now I came to preach. Some people call you and they are so offended that you didn't pick their call. Sir, you are calling me at your free time. Do you know my free time? Your free time is not my free time. When I am free, I will return the call. And I may not be free for 2 weeks. It's not arrogance. Where I'm going to have put a law on me. You may have the liberty to be on your phone for 12 hours. I may be permitted to make calls for 1 hour in a day. And if your call doesn't come in when I'm supposed to make calls, you will wait till the next time I'm making calls. I honor you, but I'm running a program because I'm going somewhere. Careless about everything. You wake up, you're on Facebook, you are looking for pictures and videos to distract you. You look at this one, you scroll away. You look at this one, you scroll away. By the time you are 70 years old, you will not even have money to buy that phone. Elohim Adonai. Do you know that the level of light you carry is a function of focus? I'm a scientist. There's a lens we call converging lens. When you put that lens under the sun at the right focal point, that lens can harness the energy of the sun and set a black object ablaze by converging. That's why in Matthew 6:22, the Bible said, if your eyes be single, your whole body will be full of light. Now, what does light do for you? Job 29:4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. When you see people succeeding regardless of opposition, is the light they carry, because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. You will give excuses so long as your focus is scattered, but when you become focused, every challenge that bring men down will become a platform for your manifestation. Hope you know, you and I are hailing bands in the Dahosa today because he raised dead men. He's the same dead man that made bands in the Dahosa famous that sent some people out of ministry. The reason some people were labeled fake is because of their attempt to raise the dead. Some even manipulated to get people who are not dead to lie in coffin. Your focus will become a light, and your light will distinguish you. We are so blunt, and that's why we struggle with everything. They say when the edge of the sword, of the axe, is blunt, it will require a lot of energy. That you are putting so much energy does not mean you are doing so much. 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when we were being taught how to cast out demons, we will be on one demonic case for 4 hours. And when we step out, we'll say, we handled that demon for 4 hours. We were there. We were bragging that we had stamina. Somebody told us, you are with a demon for 4 hours. The next time we went to cast out demon, after we prayed in tongues for 4 hours, we will move around, we will sing war. There are some songs that are warfare songs. We will sing all those warfare songs. When we sing those songs, we will dance like warriors. We will touch the demon. We will sprinkle water. Everything we know. After 4 hours, the lady will shout and fall down. Or the man will fall down. We will now be coming out with sweat. All our clothes is wet. And then we are walking like warriors. One day we went out to cast out demon with a brother who had light. The moment he showed up, the demon looked at him, screamed and fell down. What is going on? He said, you are taking 4 hours because you don't have revelation. What? I don't have revelation. It doesn't have to be 4 hours. We now realize that 4 hours was not a record of praise. It was actually a record of disadvantage. But it will take focus to win in life. It will take focus to rule in life. Because focus brings you the illumination required to create a distinction in your life. It's a price you must pay. And finally, for you to be a world changer, you must become a being of love. Our world is dying. There is wickedness, there is evil in our world. Too many people are already bitter and embittered by the things they've gone through. You cannot impact people until you first of all love them. In John chapter 21 verse 15, Jesus came to Peter and said, lovest thou me more than this? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, keep my flock. He said, lovest thou me? He asked him the question 3 times. I know you have discipled you. I know you are anointed. But the question I want to ask you is, can I trust you enough to hand people to you? Can I trust you enough to hand territories to you? The code is love. People pray for power. People pray for wonder. But their heart is full of bitterness. And so people come under them and they end up enslaving them. Many places today where we call house of God, when you come there, they will cripple you, put you on a wheelchair and start pushing you. And all your life, you will be indebted to them, thinking they have helped you. But you went there as a firebrand, you ended up a mediocre. Because they will kill your confidence, they will kill your giftings. When they know that you have completely become a mediocre, then they start helping you. And all your life, you'll be dependent on them. That generation that have been bound by witchcraft, a new order of deliverance is coming for them. You don't have love, you can't impact anybody. You don't have love, you can't affect your world. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 33, it spoke of the great men of faith. It said, through faith they subdued kingdom. But we saw in Galatians 5:6 that those men were actually not functioning by faith. They were functioning by love. Because faith worketh by love. Many times the reason what we are looking for we never get is because our heart is evil. Watch a man today who is acting as if he's humble. When he's empowered, you'll be shocked. People come around him, they become worst version of themselves because they are only there to use people. So long as you can hail the man on a pulpit, everything is well with you. So long as you route all the honor to him, everything is well with you. But the day God begins to do something with you, you become a rebel. There is darkness in the heart of people. A generation that is full of love must arise for God to be able to entrust us with the power to cause changes. Do you think it's hard for God to empower us? It cost God nothing. God picked Moses with a staff. He shut down Egypt. But Moses was tender at heart. The Bible called him the meekest of all men that lived. A point came, Moses was praying to God in Exodus 32. He said, if you will not forgive these people, he said, remove my name from your book of life. Moses was willing to be eternally condemned because of Israel. He had love for the people. God had promised Moses. He said, I will end this generation and I will start a new generation with you. Is that not a doorway to greatness? God himself gives you an offer that is going to destroy a whole generation and start a new generation with you. Moses said, no, far be it from you. How do you want the nations to hear that you deliver them from Egypt and destroy them in the wilderness? What about your covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What kind of man is that? There's something greater than the ability to do signs and wonders. It's the heart of love. It's the heart of love. When Miriam and Aaron cursed Moses, God's anger came down, struck Miriam with leprosy. If it's in our generation today, we'll stand up and make a sermon out of it and say, they don't know who I am. They tried me. See what has happened to them. You too, if you want, do what they did. It will become the sermon of our lifetime. That guy messed up with me. He was struck with leprosy. Hope you saw it. We are not equal. Some of us are men of God. Moses instantly began to beg God because of Miriam. To him, it was not about exhortation. He had compassion for the woman. Lord, please have mercy. It was because of Moses' intercession for the woman that fought Moses that God had mercy on her. Did you read the story of Lot and Abraham? Abraham took Lot out of Haran, made Lot a man. Lot ended up, his men began to fight Abraham's men. And when Abraham came to settle, Lot had the audacity of saying they should separate. And when they were separating, Lot chose the best portion of the land. The Bible said he saw the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, that the vegetation was green. And Abraham let him go. Few years down the line, Lot became a captive. Lot became a slave. The Bible said Abraham, without hesitation, he said he took 318 trained men of his household. Abraham literally emptied his own house to go save the man that betrayed him. He risked his whole family. And this man did not even have an heir yet. If he had an heir, he would say, if I die, somebody will succeed me. He risked his life, took every trained man of his house, and went to save Lot. And when he saved Lot, he took nothing. The moment that happened, Melchizedek appeared to him and called him Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. Through love, the man had entered a realm of authority that signs and wonders could not give him. When Lot, Sodom was to be destroyed, the first time Abraham dared to challenge God was because of Lot. How far be it from you, thou the righteous God, that you should destroy both the righteous and the evil. What if you find 50 righteous men? What has Lot done for you? Lot has done nothing, but the heart of love won't let him rest. When God finds that kind of man, he can give him the greatest authority in the world because he knows that with that authority, the heritage of God will be preserved. Our heart is full of ego. Our heart is full of bitterness. Our heart is full of wickedness. Our heart is full of evil machination. That's why if we like, we should lie on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. We will never have the power to rule a nation. You want to be powerful with God? You must tell God to teach you how to love. Paul said, for me to die is Christ. That means it's gain for him to die. He said, but for me to live is for your own advantage. He said, what will I do? I will stay alive because of you. God had already shown him that the moment he departs from this body, he will take the crown of life. But because the church needed to be mentored into maturity, the crown of life waited. And he was there laboring. What is the quotient of love you have for your brother? What is the quotient of love you have for the body of Christ? Today, when you hear that somebody falls, even the people who have not preached about Jesus for 1 year suddenly become evangelists of doom. Because it gives them great joy for their brothers to be put down. Have you heard what Martha did? Have you heard what Magdalene did? Did you tell them? Have you told the same person what Jesus did? How come you are so interested now to tell them about what Martha did? Because we are propagators of evil on account of the evil that is in our hearts. When was the last time you knelt down to pray for a brother that fell? When was the last time you knelt down to pray for a sister that fell? And you are telling God to give you authority to save Akwa Ibom. Which authority? So that you will end up buying lands and property in Bahama Island. You think God doesn't know your motivation? Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Hear me. Some of you will walk out of this meeting, and the difference between how you came in and how you will go out will be like the difference between night and day. Elohim Adonai. For 1 minute. Hear me. Pray in tongues like somebody who is desperate to take something. Pray in the spirit like somebody who is about to step into an encounter. Jesus. There are three sets of people that God will minister to tonight. We are out of time, so I don't want it to be violent, so that I can manage time. Because if I allow the energy to go too high, I will lose track of time. But there are three sets of people God will minister to tonight. The first set of people, please hear this and pay attention. I told you I came to shift you. But when you leave here, your results will tell you that something has happened to you. The first set of people that God wants to touch tonight are those he wants to clothe with power. Hear this. There is so much deceit in our world. People are acting and creating impressions. But there's a generation that God wants to anoint. There is a generation that God wants to exalt. One of the credentials of these people is a supernatural operation of God's power in their lives. For some of them, it will work as wisdom. For some of them, it will work in form of speed. For some of them, it will work in form of miracle working power. But something will come on your life, you will know that this is not gimmick. If that speed come on you, for example, everything you touch will be rapid. You will see it, you will not know how, but you can't help it. So play the keyboard for me mildly. Mildly. Just play it calmly. What I want you to do is to focus on Jesus. Sometimes when I get violent, people are carried away by emotions. They don't receive. Just tell the Lord, touch me now, I'm ready. That's all you need to do for me. Touch me, I'm ready. The kind of scepter that will fall here tonight, some people will live here, the first thing they will do will immediately arrest the attention of their environment, the whole environment. Because they will say, we have never seen it in this fashion. Seven people. He's just electing those ones as a sign. Some are in the hall, some are online. The hand of God. You cannot resist it. Now, by the Spirit, let the ordination of power begin. From the left to the right, from the front, help them. From the front to the back, to the choir stand, to those online. That power. Ah, hey.
an ordination. Listen, towards my left here, there is a new priesthood mantle that is about to fall on someone. There's a new authority for ministry, for priesthood, that is about to fall on someone towards my left here. Father, in the name of Jesus, whoever that one is, there's a shift for your ministry. There's a shift in your ordination. Now, in the name of Jesus, take that grace. Take that grace. I release that for protection. Impartation is for financial dominion. He said, there is a power to get wealth. And he said, cry out. He said, my kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. A church that prays alone cannot advance God's kingdom. You need a church of financial strength to move the kingdom forward. I don't know what it is you are doing, but there's a power coming upon you now to get well. And so wherever you are, whatever you do, by the spirit of power, take the grace to get well. Take that in protection. The power to get well. I release it upon you. Take the grace. You will count your first million. Million. Legitimate money. Not because you stole. Not because you scammed. There is a power to get wealth. And you don't have to be old to tap into that power. Wherever you are, receive that grace. Receive that ordination. Receive that power. Take that scepter now. Take that scepter now. Church is not a glorious church. It's said, my kingdom through prosperity shall not be spread abroad. In the early church, they said there was power among them that back. There was power for wealth. They were not in the kingdom of wealth. In the name of Jesus, in your local currencies, God will begin to lift you up in foreign currencies. So you will not just be wealthy in your country, you will be wealthy in any nation of the world. In the name of Jesus, take that grace now. Yeshua HaMashiach coming on our canoe. Yeshua HaMashiach coming on our canoe. Yeshua HaMashiach coming on our canoe. My God, my God, men that have authority to change circumstances, men that have authority to lend to nations, I will never borrow. They will give to nations, they will never borrow. The same order of the Abrahamic world, they said he was old and stricken in age. The Lord blessed him in all things. By the Spirit of God, take the power.
power to get wealth. Listen, you don't have to steal to be rich. You don't have to scam to be wealthy. There is a wisdom that God can put on you that will change your story and make you a joy of many generations. The time has come for that wrong phrase to be corrected. The church is seen as the poorest place where God church rats. My God, my God, my God, something will happen in this last day. We will not only have power in the spirit, we will have power in the economy. In the name of Jesus, the rod of authority in the economic sphere, take it now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My God. My God. Barakabedo Valagada. Zezania Talebandre Paragado. Some of you came from poor backgrounds. Your family have been ridiculed. Your lineage have been tagged as a hopeless lineage, as a poor lineage. I come with the rod of the priesthood of power, and I provoke an emancipation. The story will be rewritten. The cross is lifted. In the name of Jesus, take that power. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hi. Jesus. There is a last grace that God will have me release here. There is one unction that God has given to the body that have created the highest level of penetration. In the name of Jesus. If you can, please hear me. So you will take something tangible and you begin to build on it. There is one unction that is resident with the body that whoever carries it usually enjoys the highest level of penetration. The people that operate this grace usually
90% of the time, they are the only men that can fill up a stadium. 90% of the time, they are the only men that the door of Islamic nations open to them. They invite them, say, come and bless us. Preach anything you want to preach, come here. That grace is the grace to address bone conditions. If you can raise people from wheelchairs, if you can correct bone and nervous breakdown, the door of any nation is open to you. There are two people here that God wants to put that grace upon. Hear me. I told you, honestly, we thank God for people who God slays. He's the one who knows what he's doing with them. We have no hand in it. But when God touches you, it's beyond falling down. Something will happen. You will see the result. It will shock you. The people I'm talking to, they've seen themselves in visions before. Addressing crowds in stadia. Raising people from wheelchairs. Raising cripples from wheelchairs. In the name of Jesus, I come as the voice of emancipation. I stir that unction now. Wherever you are, let the fire rumble out of your spirit. Take that grace. Take that grace.
Help him.
Those of you in the choir, stretch your hands towards me. There is a second dose for you. Father, the same grace for visibility that I have, the same grace for speed that I have, every one of them, in the name of Jesus, take that grace. Take that grace. Those of you here, please stretch your hands towards me. Such as I have, such as I have received from the Lord, I bring to you because of your hunger, your faith, and your honor. In the name of Jesus from heaven, take that grace. Take that grace. Take a double measure. In the name of Jesus, fresh fire. Maradene Sata, take a new fire of the Spirit. Father, take. In the name of Jesus, as you travel from far, the honor of an evangelist, the power of the Holy Ghost, the measures that I carry, in the name of Jesus, I bring you in now. Take that place in the name of Jesus. Every hungry heart, take, never be the same again. Take that place. Those of you here, lift your hands toward heaven. I'm seeing God decorate some of you with honor. Honor. You will not be stranded. The next phase of your life is already settled by honor, by wisdom, by favor. In the name of Jesus, take that grace. are the coppers? Where are the coppers? Come up quickly. Come up quickly. Please, you can help those under the power. There's something about to fall on you. You will not leave service and be stranded. No. No. That's why we came. We have passed through this path. And God has sent us to you. The same mercy we enjoyed. The same favor we enjoy. The same graces we carry. Every one of you expectant and hungry tonight. By the Spirit, there are seven of you stepping into a new dimension. Now, such as I have. Such as I have. By impartation, by intimacy, by hunger. In the name of Jesus, take that grace. Take that grace. Take that grace. Take that grace. Thank you, Father. You will not remain the same. You will not leave service and be stranded. The help you need, you receive it now. The favor you need, receive it now. The direction you need, receive it now. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus, the help you need, take it now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. By the Spirit, I shift you to the next phase of your life. I remove struggle from your path. I open doors of possibility to you. I bring you favor. I bring you speed. I bring you honor. I bring you glad tidings. In the name of Jesus, take it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As you depart from here, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And you will be changed into another person. All the days of your life are vetoed for victory. All the days of your life are vetoed for greatness. All the days of your life, I decree them successful. In the name of Jesus. Go forward and prosper. And so let it be written in the chronicles of the heavens that the ordinations of royalty are conferred upon every one of you. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son,
amen.
And in the name of God the Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you. See you tomorrow morning.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.